is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Why is Navage perfect for allergy sufferers? Rhino Systems Medical Director Dr. Howard Levine explains.
If someone's exposed to allergens, they can get rid of those immediately by washing out the nose. Navage works by pulling saline in one nostril, through the nose and out the other nostril, sucking out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs. Experience on-the-spot relief so you could breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier.
Navage is available at Sam's Club, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or online at Navage.com. Navage, breathe easy.
Jake from State Farm. I just beat my running PR, so I'm celebrating with the Banana Bonanza smoothie.
Hey, and you can keep celebrating when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. Go bananas.
I will. Hey, make it a large.
Bundling. Just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Attorneys for Special Counsel Jack Smith accused former President Trump's lawyers of hijacking a hearing in his classified documents case with far-fetched theories. ABC's Catherine Falders has more on what's at issue in the hearing in front of Judge Eileen Cannon.
Motions brought by former President Trump's lawyers, one to consider whether Special Counsel Jack Smith's appointment as Special Counsel is unlawful, and the judge has also been considering a request by Jack Smith to impose a limited gag order over Donald Trump's speech as it relates to law enforcement involved in the case. It's not clear when Cannon intends to rule on this.
The judge who oversaw Trump's criminal trial in New York modified the gag order, allowing him to now publicly discuss jurors or witnesses. The CDC is advising doctors to look out for dengue. There's been a record number of the mosquito-borne virus cases in the Americas this year, including more than 700 so far in the U.S. related to travel. This is ABC News. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is in Thailand. He's been fighting extradition to the U.S. for years after publishing classified U.S. documents. He's expected to plead guilty to one count of espionage in a court in the Northern Mariana Islands before heading home to Australia.
U.S. prosecutors had wanted to prosecute him for 17 counts under the Espionage Act, and that had been a very controversial issue in the United States because there were fears among major media organizations, including, for example, the New York Times, that were this to happen, it could set a dangerous precedent that could potentially mean that journalists publishing government secrets risk being criminalized.
That's ABC's Patrick Reeval. And tensions continue to simmer on the Korean Peninsula as North Korea sent more trash balloons into South Korea. It's the fifth time they've sent garbage over the border since May. South Korea threatening to retaliate by blasting anti-North Korean propaganda from speakers. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath. Fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go. But the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit NoTimeToWait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Wine, spirits, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes. With thousands of bottles that you get to explore, Total Wine has everything you need and more. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ahlen. Whether or not disabled voters who can't independently read or mark a paper ballot may cast absentee ballots electronically from home in this November's election will be the subject of a ruling from a Dane County judge this week. An attorney for the State Department of Justice said Monday that allowing the change just 2 months ahead of the August primary would be disruptive and confusing. Jared Grubo is an attorney for the plaintiffs.
The request that we're making would alleviate confusion. It would make clear who's allowed to do this and exactly how to do it. And WEC has the capabilities and has done so in the past of providing guidance and getting guidance to clerks.
Disability Rights Wisconsin, the League of Women Voters, and four disabled people filed the lawsuit in April. Everyone involved in a lawsuit over Wisconsin's election maps will have to foot the bill for experts brought in to examine the case.
The state Supreme Court ruled on Monday that the six separate parties that got involved with the lawsuit each owe just over $21,000 to pay for a pair of outside experts to examine proposed election maps. The case was dropped after Republicans and the governor's office came to terms on a new map and passed it into law. Justice Rebecca Dallet says the two professors put in the time and effort to make rulings and should be paid for that time. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin Public Service Commission Chair Summer Strand says a recent vote by the U.S. Senate could help facilitate advanced nuclear power development.
That included the text of the Nuclear Advance Bill, which has been worked on bipartisan compromise in Congress for over a year, that is going to include acceleration of some of these technologies and the deployment money.
During a WIS Politics luncheon in Madison last week, Strand noted that European countries are already making progress on small modular reactors. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
NTEC is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTEC grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny and breezy today as warm temperatures take over and highs climb to the mid-80s. Tomorrow, we've got more sunshine on tap and a cool down. In fact, we fall to the mid-70s for the rest of this week. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 83 degrees.
And thank you for joining us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We got a lot to get to on our program here today. Coming up towards the end of the show at segment four, we're going to learn about something brand new. First ever issuance of high integrity carbon credits for large scale rice methane reduction. Farmers in the Delta might be interested in this news. Tyler Hall, the president of AgriCapture, is going to join us to tell us more about that coming up in segment four. In segment three today, we're going to get an update on some of the flooding throughout much of Iowa, also to Minnesota and South Dakota. But we'll be joined by Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg after the bottom of the hour today and get some thoughts from him. I know he's out surveying flooding and damage and more here this week, and just a tough situation. So we're going to talk to Secretary Negg coming up here in a little bit and get some updates on what's going on throughout the state of Iowa. In segment two, we're going to learn more about the Foreground by Bayer project with Alyssa Cho, the lead for Foreground by Bayer. She's going to join us for a conversation talking about the different sustainability things they do with that program and more. She'll be with us in segment two here today on AOA. Well, let's kick things off on the program and take a look at the markets. And markets largely in the red here on Tuesday, even with lower crop condition ratings out Monday afternoon. So what's exactly going on? Chris Robinson with Robinson Ag Marketing joins us here on AOA. And Chris, all this red on the board, even with lower crop ratings, flooding in the Northwest Corn Belt, heat in the East, you would think we might get a little bit of a short covering bounce here, but that just doesn't seem to be happening. What's going on in the grains right now, Chris?
We're under pressure. We have been really for the last 2 weeks. We had looked like we were going to make a little bit of a run a couple weeks ago. We had a little bounce. 2024 has been, you know, so far a disappointing year. We've had a couple chances. We started the year, we gapped lower and new crop corn and new crop beans. That was the first sign of weakness. What does that mean? We just had, you know, January 2nd, we opened up, we didn't even trade for 3 or 4 cents. So people were were starting the year early selling. And I think that, you know, we started out with the whole idea that, you know, we have better carryouts than people had imagined. And so far, we have not had any drastic problems. I know these floods are not good, but we have not had any large-scale drastic weather premium there. And you see the market's under pressure. Again, in general, you know, we've been looking for a story. Exports have been particularly bad for new crop soybeans. The Chinese just have not shown up. We've got 19-year lows for exports. So kind of throw it all in a big bottle of wax, and, you know, we're fighting tooth and nail. We're sitting here at 3-year lows, and, you know, we're hopefully we're going to catch some support here at these major support levels. We are going to have to wait till Friday, though. And why is Friday important? Well, Friday could change things. How could it change it? Well, we're going to get an acres report. And if there's a whoopsie in that report, if we didn't plant enough corn acres, that's something that might help turn the tide here. But right now, we've got more of what the world wants less of. We have, despite the floods going on right now, we don't really have a weather story that is going to hammer yields. And with the carryout that we have right now, that's what we kind of need. We need something that would hammer yields, would cut back yields, and help drive prices higher. So Friday's report's big. We'll see what happens.
I know, too, the dollar higher again Tuesday. That dollar has been a fairly significant headwind here. I mean, you brought up exports and things like that. On top of everything else going on, this dollar has not been too friendly to the grain complex as a whole as well here, Chris, it feels like.
No, it sure hasn't. And, you know, we're at this 105, 106 level. The dollar is moving with what's going on in the bond market. That's just a real quick and dirty explanation. If the rates, if the Federal Reserve keep rates higher for longer, that is supported for the dollar. That's one reason we've seen kind of a reprice in the dollar from the beginning of the year. We were down around 102, 103, and we're back here to this 105 level. If we get north of 106, that would probably get some more people's attention. That's a big technical level. But you're right. It's not helping exports. And honestly, it feels like the Chinese are kind of sitting on their hands because they realize we've got an election coming up, and they don't know who's going to win any more than anybody else does. But it certainly feels like they are kind of sitting on their hands. They have been sporadic buyers. They bought some old crop beans and corn, but they've been really absent in new crop soybeans. And again, they may just do that until they figure out who we're going to see in the Oval Office next year.
Very true. Very true. We're talking with Chris Robinson from Robinson Ag Marketing. How about that livestock trade, Chris? Cattle and hogs, a little bit of mixed action Tuesday. The hog market in particular just can't catch a break, can't find friends, it feels like, while cattle initially reacted to that cattle on feed report and then kind of moved past it here already, it looks like. Your thoughts in this protein sector right now?
Protein sector, if you look at, you know, the we've been battling back, especially in live cattle and feeder cattle. We're anywhere from $15 to $17 higher than where we were from that bird flu scare. So we've gotten a reprieve, thank goodness. Fat cattle in particular went up and made new eight-month highs. So despite a bearish cattle on feed, which those placements were shocked a lot of people, the market has shrugged it off. And it started to realize, I've been in this business for 25, 30 years, the cattle on feed numbers are almost they are a risk event, right? Because you don't know what they're going to say, and the market can react. But a lot of times, they're already factored in, and I think you've seen that, luckily for producers. Because if you're a producer, what are you? You're always bet long. So it's nice to see the market shrug off a bearish cattle on feed. And these are still relatively good prices. You've got August feeders at 260. You've got August fats at 185. And again, compared to where we were in April with all the issues with the bird flu, we've had a tremendous recovery. So that's the glass half full. You were talking about hogs. Hogs, we started out the year, we had a tremendous rally. We exploded 17 bucks off the lows in December. When we went up all the way up to May, the April highs, contract highs. And for a host of different reasons, that did not last. Least of all was the managed money. People always talk about managed money. Managed money was, they were bet long, 95,000 contracts when we were at our highs. They rode that thing all the way down. They generally don't do that, but they have just gotten out of that position. They're just flat now. And lo and behold, you know, you've got July hogs at the contract lows. So that was disappointing. I have a friend of mine in Indiana. He always tells me, because he said, hogs trade like they ice skate. Hogs are one of the most difficult trades out there. When the market gives you good rallies, you really have to get all over them. Now, the good thing is we're holding here at this 90-cent area. That's a blessing. We'll see if that can hold moving forward. But, yeah, it's been a tale of two markets. You've had a really good recovery in the fat cattle and the lean hogs. Again, for a variety of reasons, I've just gotten hammered here. But the positive, we're higher here today, and it looks like 90 cents is holding in July.
Folks can find more RobinsonAgMarketing.com. Chris Robinson, appreciate you joining us on AOA, sir. Have a great week.
Sir. You too. Take care.
All right. We'll talk with Alyssa Cho from Foreground by Bayer next on AOA. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Everyone knows how important calcium-rich milk and dairy products are to building strong bones and teeth in children. But something you might not know, the calcium in milk has been shown to reduce hypertension in adults. So relax with a tall, cool one and raise a toast to good health and to your local dairyman.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work. And this June Dairy Month message is being brought to you by Synergy Co-op, your LS tractor dealer. Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Joining us now here on the program, we are learning more about the Foreground by Bayer platform, which is aimed at driving forward regenerative agriculture. Joining us now to talk about it, she is the lead for Foreground by Bayer and also an agronomist with Bayer Crop Science. Alyssa Cho is with us here today on the program. And Alyssa, thanks so much for being with us. I hope you're doing well.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's just start and kind of dive in here a little bit and learn more about the foreground program from Bayer and much more. Really interesting stuff. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this line of work and your role here at Bayer.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I've been in this role for a couple years now, going on 3 years. And the reason that I joined Bayer was specifically to contribute to developing this space around how we incentivize farmers to participate in regenerative agriculture. So my background is really in sustainable ag. I have a PhD in agronomy, so an agronomist by training. But really, my passion has always been around how we look at systems and really try to optimize inputs, outputs, driving revenue for the farmer, and also contributing to positive climate action.
Fantastic. Well, let's tie that in with Foreground by Bayer. Give us a kind of a overview synopsis of what is Foreground by Bayer.
Foreground by Bayer is really a platform that's intended to help farmers at all stages of their sustainability and regenerative ag journey. And the concept behind it is that for it to be really a digital platform where farmers can both learn about new opportunities, new programs, the practices themselves, while also, if they're ready, participating in programs that can actually help them both increase their adoption rates, but also receive incentives for doing so.
I was thinking about those incentives. Can you break down how farmers actually earn revenue through Foreground?
So our primary way that we offer incentives or revenue opportunities for farmers on Foreground right now is through a program which is also known in the market as our Bayer Carbon Program. So Foreground itself was really intended to be a platform that's all-encompassing for farmers who are ready and not ready to participate. If they're ready to participate, that revenue-generating program is really our core carbon program, which is offered through the Foreground platform.
Well, tell us, what value does Foreground bring to its customers through its resources?
Foreground is really a way for farmers who are interested in learning more about this market and learning more about how they can be successful in adopting regenerative agricultural practices to kind of get their toes wet without making a significant commitment to a specific program or offer. And through the platform, they're able to access things like benefits. They're able to access agronomic support if they need it, as well as if they're ready to learn more about programs, they can dive deeper into that as well.
We're talking today with Alyssa Cho, agronomist with Bayer and lead for the Foreground by Bayer platform. We know farmers, they've got quite a few options now when it comes to adopting regenerative ag practices. Alyssa, can you tell us more about what sets Foreground apart?
I think what really sets Foreground apart is being backed by Bayer and having that trust and scientific rigor that comes along with being with a company like Bayer. It's one of the reasons why I joined this position, is really how we can scale this market and scale the impact that we can make. So I think what's most important is that we can be a trusted partner for farmers as they enter into this space, and that we're really trying to optimize what we're doing for the longevity of the program. So we're not looking for a quick win here. We're really looking at how we can stand up a market that's going to withhold time and withstand time, but also be able to provide that incentive for as long as we can for that farmer. Specifically, why Foreground is a good partner for that is because we are also allowing farmers to enter in without making an initial commitment. So by entering into Foreground by Bayer, if they're not quite ready to commit to a program or they're just starting to adopt regenerative ag practices, it's a way that they can participate without fully committing right away. If they're ready to participate in our Bayer Carbon program, then again, we're offering that trust, the scientific rigor, the ability to create high quality offset credits, as well as those value chain emission reductions that we're working with partners on. So it really can be that trusted partner for the journey that they're going on, both from their regenerative ag side, from an agronomic perspective, but also from the market perspective.
There's a lot of different factors that go into things here, I know, and a lot of farmers asking questions, things like that. What about verification and the practices there? Can you tell us more about maybe some of the advancements in verification practices?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as you know, it's very difficult. There's a lot of complexity and science behind how we're verifying that carbon is being sequestered through the practices that farmers are adopting. So there's a lot of different ways that we look at verification. So from a farmer's perspective, the way that we're looking for verification is twofold. One way is through remote sensing and ways in which we can verify that there was a practice evident on the field without having to ask the farmer themselves. The second level of verification there is by actually gathering evidence from the farmer. Do they have cover crop receipts? Can they give us custom application receipts? That kind of thing. And then we also follow up with soil sampling. So that's another way that we're looking at the quantification of the actual sequestration in the soil. So those are just some of the examples of what we do at Bayer to verify practice adoption and the actual sequestration.
Well, of course, a lot of talk and a lot of work being done by farmers and throughout the ag industry for regenerative agriculture right now. I mean, talk about what other factors you're seeing that are showing that regenerative agriculture is here to stay, Alyssa.
Well, I think if you speak to farmers who've been doing these practices for a very long time prior to this market being in existence, the reasons that they do it usually are related to soil health and the legacy of their operation. So they want to leave their farm better than when they started farming it. And one way that they can do that is by incorporating these practices, which ultimately really drive soil health. This all comes down to soil health. And so for the farmer, there's a lot of benefits that they're gaining from that in terms of water use on the farm, nutrient flow in their systems, weed suppression in some cases. There's a multitude of what we call co-benefits to adopting regenerative agricultural practices in addition to this new market opportunity around revenue. So I think that's where the opportunity to really understand how we can look at the system as a whole rather than just, you know, one little component of it. And there's also a lot of scientific evidence out there and academic research that has shown over time, you might have an initial kind of yield challenge with adoption, but long term, you actually have higher yields and better withstanding of extreme weather events under these systems.
Well, great stuff. Really enjoyed the conversation. Where can folks go to learn more about the Foreground from Bayer platform and much more, Alyssa?
Yep, they can go to bayerforeground.com. It's free to join. There's no cost. You can just link your FieldView account and quickly get access to the platform.
Fantastic. Well, and before we let you go, anything final you'd want to share or reiterate to folks, either about Foreground by Bayer or just thoughts on where we're at in terms of regenerative ag practices, et cetera? Anything else you'd want to add or share for us today?
Yeah, for me, the message that I usually share with farmers is that this is the opportunity that probably may not come again in your lifetime. There's so many market forces that are contributing to this. If you have any consideration of trying out new practices, there's a lot of ways that you can stack incentives and really have support for trying out these regenerative practices on your farm. So I'd encourage them to dig deeper if they're interested.
Fantastic. Well, with that, agronomist and lead for the Foreground by Bayer platform, Alyssa Cho. Alyssa, thanks for joining us on the program today. Really appreciate the time and conversation. We'll talk to you again in the future.
Thank you.
Once again, Alyssa Cho there with Foreground by Bayer joining us here today on AOA. Well, one news note I want to share as well. We had that cattle on feed report, of course, back on Friday. We also had a milk production report here last week. Let's start with the cattle on feed. Cattle and calves on feed for the slaughter market in the U.S. for feedlots with a capacity of 1,000 or more head, total 11.6 million head on June 1. That number slightly below June 1st of last year. Placements of feedlots during May totaled 2.05 million head, 4% above 2023. Feedlot placements were 1.98 million head. That placements number, some thought, might have been a little bearish for cattle. Fed cattle marketings in May reached 1.96 million head, slightly higher than in 2023. In another report, again, the milk production report, 24 major dairy producing states during May totaled 18.9 billion pounds, down 0.7% from May of 2023. April's revised production reached 18.3 billion pounds. Production per cow averaged 2,122 pounds for May, 3 pounds below May of 2023. The number of milk cows on farms reached 8.89 million head, 52,000 less than in May of 2023, but 5,000 more than April 2024. Total United States May milk production reached 19.7 billion pounds. That was down 0.9% from May of 2023. So again, that's a recap of the latest milk production report and the latest cattle on feed report. All right, coming up next here on AOA, of course, we continue to watch the massive flooding in parts of Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota. We're going to get an update on how things are in Iowa as we continue to see rivers, many rivers out of their banks, impacting homes, businesses, also impacting fields, livestock, etc. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagy, he is out touring some of this flood damage here today. We're going to get an update from him on some of the state response for folks and more. He'll join us next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk down 37 to 1950. August down the 75-cent limit to 2009. September down 63 to 2003. October down 46 at 1973. Live cattle markets were mixed. Feeder cattle markets were mostly lower on the day. Now, cattle demand is still incredibly strong. The corn complex was also lower, and that did help the nearby feeder cattle markets, but some profit-taking helped to pressure deferreds. Meanwhile, hog markets, they were mostly lower on the day. Even though the midday pork cutout value was slightly higher, there's still a lack of domestic demand pressuring prices. June live cattle up 57 cents to 189.47. August feeder cattle up 15 cents to 259.05. July hogs down 95 cents to 89 even. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower. While we have seen some flood disruptions boosting the cash trade, warmer weather looks to persist into July with better rain coverage for most into early July. That should help the corn and also the bean markets. Wheat futures were mostly lower as harvest pressure continues to overshadow deeply oversold conditions. New crop corn down 8 3/4 to 443. New crop beans down 19 to 11 and a half. July wheat down 10 3/4.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we continue here on today's AOA, as I've talked about this week, the pictures, the video, everything I've been seeing from parts of the Northwestern Corn Belt have just been tough to look at with the immense flooding happening throughout northwest, northern Iowa, into western Iowa now, parts of southeast South Dakota, southern Minnesota, just a lot of water in places that it shouldn't be. Let's get an update on the situation, where things are at. Joining us now, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Naeg. And Mike, it is great to talk with you again, albeit we're talking about some tough circumstances going on across much of northwest and western Iowa right now, but I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, Jesse, always great to catch up. Yes, I wish we weren't talking about what we're talking about today, but I'm actually on the road headed to northwest Iowa. Of course, that's close to home for me, Palo Alto County, kind of representing the maybe the eastern edge of you know, this very large rain event, flood event that's ongoing right now. So, yes, just hearing about and seeing pictures of incredible destruction. And like I said, headed up there today to make a few stops, visit a couple farms, some ag retailers, feed mills, and you know, just trying to assess kind of what can be done here in the early stages of response yet. And then, of course, looking ahead to recovery and trying to get our arms around what, you know, how big, how severe, how large this event will be. But it'll take some time to get that full picture.
Yeah, and I know, you know, close to your home farm there, I mean, Spencer, just to the west, some of the pictures and video I saw out of there alone, I mean, you know, I've been through that town many, many times, Mike, and it just where some of that water's at is hard to imagine, and I know many other communities throughout the state experiencing that as well, to your points. And obviously, homes, businesses, loss of pets, livestock, you know, things like that are kind of top of mind first. And, you know, crop losses maybe are secondary when we think about this. But also, too, I mean, to your point, as you kind of assess, and it's going to take us a while to really figure out what damage has been done. Once we assess those factors, homes, businesses, human life, et cetera, crops in that area, a big deal. There's a lot of acres that are underwater, isn't there?
Yeah, there really are. And of course, you'll have definitely, because of the amount of moving water that we've seen, you'll have washouts and you'll have fields that are you know, very much impacted, destroyed, eroded heavily. But of course, the full extent of a crop damage will take some time, maybe even a few weeks here to totally assess. You know, how long does water sit? How quickly can we move it out of these areas? You know, the maybe bright spot was that we've had a couple of dry days now, although the forecast has some rain coming back into the picture here late in the week. But, you know, again, those are the things you think about down the stretch. Right now, of course, we're hearing a lot about, you know, just flat out impassable roads, flooded or washed out, which makes it very difficult to get feed to facilities or move livestock around. You know, those are some of the immediate, well, getting water to facilities, power outages. You know, those are the here and now things that people are dealing with. You know, again, everything from the feed mill to the vet clinic to those livestock farms. So that's maybe top of mind from an ag perspective. But of course, just the massive amount of recovery. You mentioned Spencer. Of course, you think about how Spencer lays basically the whole south half of town, you know, really lays low along the river there, and just incredible damage. Rock Valley, Haywarden. When you're hearing about people needing to be rescued literally off their roofs, that gives you a sense of the intensity, how sudden this was, and all of those types of things. So truly heartfelt. You know, heartfelt sympathies and prayers for those that are really in a mess right now.
We're talking with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Naeg here on AOA. I know Governor Reynolds has issued some disaster proclamations. Mm-hmm. I think it was 21 counties in northwest and northern Iowa. Can we assume that we might see some federal help here as well with just the widespread devastation, Mike?
Yeah, we will, I believe. In fact, I think we had a federal designation come through just yesterday, kind of late, and so a few counties that are dramatically impacted. Of course, the governor and her team are all over this. The DNR, the DOT, you know, Homeland Security, but also those county emergency managers and sheriffs you know, first responders, utilities. You know, this is the work that gets done in the early hours and the first few days that is so critically important, what people plan for and work for. And then you turn to that longer term, you know, recovery and rebuilding and those types of things. And of course, that's where, you know, everything from FEMA to perhaps some USDA disaster declarations. Of course, that'll take some time to assess. We all want to know the extent of the damage immediately, and that's so hard to do. So you just keep building that picture and keep collecting that, and that's really what the process is now, is try to get your arms around the extent of it. But I really do appreciate the hard work of the local first responders, but also the efforts of the state and the governor to really get on top of this.
Well, of course, we're watching the flooding. We'll continue to see as the recovery efforts go on and more. But things like this get put on top and put to the forefront. But I know there's other ag-related issues that you're working closely on there in the state. I think, of course, HPAI, bird flu. We continue to see more infections in Iowa dairies here in recent weeks. And so I know that's another situation, too, that's been one you've had to deal with, challenges. What's some of the latest surrounding HPAI, Mike?
Yeah, I tell you, unfortunately, of course, Northwest Iowa continues to be that bullseye, if you will, for us in terms of high path. In fact, I was just visiting with the state vet just a little bit ago, and a couple of the farms that are, in fact, positive, dairy farms that are positive for high path are also now dealing with flooding. Imagine how stressful it is for those folks. You've got this challenge on your hands economically, challenging from a milk production standpoint, layer on top of that flood. And this is the reality on the ground that is agriculture. But, you know, I have to say, we are discovering new cases in Iowa because we are testing and we are looking for it. And the point of doing that, and I really want to commend our dairy industry for folks are stepping up. They're willing to talk about the epidemiological links. They're willing to let the researchers on farms, they're willing to let wildlife services from USDA come in and test some of the wildlife. We are trying to understand what is going on, how this is moving, what are the vectors. We can go out and preach biosecurity, but if you don't know how something is actually spreading, it's awfully hard to harden your biosecurity plan to address that. And so I think what I see is a willingness on the part of our producers to say, if we're going to experience the pain, let's at least try to understand and create some strategies to learn from it. So that's what's happening here. So don't be surprised if you continue to see some additional cases that are discovered in the state of Iowa. I don't consider us a whole lot different than other states at this point, other than we are looking for it, we are finding it, and we are learning. And hopefully that can help our producers, but perhaps even producers outside of the state of Iowa. So, you know, the other thing I would just mention is, of course, we can't treat this just as a dairy issue because it does have devastating impact on poultry producers. We have a large egg industry and significant turkey production in the state of Iowa, so we have to view this as both a dairy issue and a poultry issue, which makes it a little more complicated than perhaps it is in some other states.
Well, Mike, we've been talking about a lot of tough situations. Let's try to wrap this up on a high note here today. I know that many other parts of the state of Iowa have had a pretty good spring so far. I mean, talk about spring planting, maybe, you know, as we look over towards the eastern half of the state, things like that. It feels like it's been a pretty decent spring, hasn't it?
You know, there are spots that look phenomenal. And I'll give you my the best answer I can when somebody says, tell me about how things look across the state of Iowa, and I say, well, it depends.
Yeah.
It depends on where you are. No, in all seriousness, we've had some places you can drive. I don't mind telling you, I'm looking out my window right now as I'm kind of south of Ogden, the west central-ish part of the state of Iowa. Things look phenomenal. You've got corn that'll be shoulder high for by the 4th of July, none of this knee-high business. And yet, we won't go too much further, and we'll start to get back into some of where it was wet this spring, and you might have fields that just nicely got planted or replanted here within the last, 2 weeks. So it really does run the gamut. But I would say that as I've traveled, and I've been to every corner of the state here in the last 2 weeks, you've got a little bit of everything, but there are some places that look awfully good. And now that the heat and some moisture are coming at the same time, I think you're really putting some growth on here. So, you know, it's a mixed bag to be sure, but it kind of is every year. And this is just another example of how we have to weather through these things literally and figuratively. And that's part of agriculture.
That is very, very true. Well, I know folks can stay up to date with some of the latest news and more resources available. IowaAgriculture.gov. And our thoughts are with everyone who's affected right now by the flooding and more there across Iowa and really across the upper Midwest, South Dakota, Minnesota, et cetera, et cetera. Mike Nagg, Secretary of Agriculture for Iowa. Mike, it's always good to talk with you, sir. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate your thoughts and your sympathies here for folks that are really struggling today. Thank you.
You bet. Mike Nagg, Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa, joining us here today on AOA. And again, we're thinking about everyone impacted by all of this massive flooding in the northwestern Corn Belt. All right, coming up next, we are going to talk about some new carbon-related products, credits for rice methane reduction. Tyler Hall with AgriCapture joins us next on AOA.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheeses? Americans' per capita cheese consumption was 33.5 pounds in 2011, and a one-ounce slice of Wisconsin cheese contains about the same amount of protein as an 8-ounce glass of milk. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by BioVet. BioVet offers a complete line of products, including capsules, pastes, soluble powders, calf and cattle electrolytes, lights, and daily feed additives for your dairy herd. Find out more by visiting bio-vet.com.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, we're talking with Ron Beatty, Senior Director of Refined Fuels Operations, Pricing, and Economics with CHS. We're talking about decarbonization efforts using sustainable aviation fuel. Ron, what is sustainable aviation fuel, otherwise known as SAF, and its connection with agriculture?
Sustainable aviation fuel is the normal jet fuel that fuels a plane. It's a 50% life cycle carbon reduction versus petroleum. So, and it's that 50% carbon reduction that is the key to turn it into sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF.
Well, what feedstocks are used to make SAF and which show the most promise?
You'll have SAF made out of tallow, rendered cow fats, used cooking oil, wood chips, sugarcane ethanol, a lot of very researchy kind of things, right? But when you look at what's going to scale up, you've got vegetable oils going to renewable diesel plants and making jet fuel in the same way at a refinery that you make diesel fuel. And so these renewable diesel plants can do that. So vegetable oils are going to be there. And in the future, corn ethanol may be a technology that evolves and starts to take hold.
Well, what opportunities does SAF adoption create for farmers today? And what opportunities might there be in the future?
So when you look at today, it's a pretty modest opportunity. The first wave will just add some additional demand for bean oil, canola oil, and vegetable oils. The second wave will be when corn ethanol technology to SAF comes to fruition, becomes a viable technology. And that'll be needed to really scale up. And we're talking about billions of gallons of SAF. You're going to need a very large feedstock for biofuels such as corn to provide that volume. When you reach that step, if that's possible, that's where the farmer will really see a benefit for extra demand for their crop.
Thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, right now on the program, we want to talk about something very interesting. History being made, the first ever issuance of high integrity carbon credits for large scale rice methane reduction. This is very interesting stuff. I think a lot of farmers in the Delta and the Southern Plains that are rice growers in the U.S. are going to want to hear about this. And joining us to talk about it, he is the president of AgriCapture. Tyler Hall is with us here today on the program. Tyler, thanks for joining us. Appreciate the time. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be on.
Well, let's just let's start and let's kind of set this up 1,000-foot view, so to speak, here, Tyler. Tell us more about this exciting news. Again, make it history here. This is the first ever issuance of these carbon credits for large-scale rice methane reduction. So give us some background on what this means for producers.
Yeah, so rice is the largest greenhouse gas emitting crop in the world. It's largely because it's grown flooded, and flooded rice fields produce methane. And so what's interesting is that even though it's the largest greenhouse gas emitting crop in the world, until now, farmers in the U.S. haven't had access to generate carbon credits by reducing those emissions. Rice is just a very unique and complex crop and greenhouse gas emitting system. And so until this issuance, we haven't had a financial mechanism to incentivize reductions in greenhouse gas emissions from rice. And so this is really exciting. We worked with in kind of our pilot 11 rice farmers to reduce emissions by 37,000 tons of carbon equivalent. And so this is the first registry verified carbon credits issued to rice farmers at scale in the United States. And so we think of it as a new tool in the tool belt for rice farmers as they look at, you know, price, yield, input costs, et cetera. Now there's a new metric that they can put in their tool belt, which is carbon reductions and the ability to monetize that as they, you know, think about how they irrigate their rice fields.
Well, we think about carbon capture and climate smart agriculture, sustainability, such a hot topic right now throughout all segments of agriculture in the U.S., Tyler. So, I mean, as farmers continue to navigate these topics, climate smart ag, carbon credits, et cetera, how can programs like this one help? Let's talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of different avenues, right? There's partnerships for climate smart commodities. So there's a lot of grant funding opportunities out there helping transition farmers to maybe lower greenhouse gas or carbon sequestering practices. Then you also have the offset market. So you have companies, oil and gas, financial services, et cetera, that can't get to net zero on their own. And so they're looking to pay farmers to do that. And that's through carbon offsets. And then you have your downstream companies within the agricultural supply chain that are looking to pay their suppliers, so, you know, essentially farmers, to reduce emissions because it rolls up into their emissions. And so it's an exciting time where you see, you know, there's government support for these practices. There's support from downstream, you know, food and bev companies looking to support those practices. And then outside the value chain, there's companies looking to purchase carbon offsets from the agricultural sector. And so, you know, there's different ways to monetize it. It's all in the same vein of either reducing greenhouse gas emissions, sequestering carbon. So when these practices and the opportunities come to, you know, the farm, it's changing a practice to, you know, achieve one of those outcomes, tracking some data, and then getting paid for it.
What sort of questions have you gotten or do you continue to get from farmers broadly, but rice farmers as well, when it comes to carbon capture and this program and things like that? I mean, what are some of the questions you continue to hear?
Yeah, one that's, I think, you know, unique to our program that we get a lot is about, well, how long are these contracts? And, you know, how long do I have to keep the carbon in the soil? And so our program is a little bit different, where we're not focused on cover crop and no-till and sequestering carbon and keeping it in the soil. That's what, you know, some of the programs that are out there have been oriented around. What we're looking to do is emit less methane, you know, per acre of rice year over year. And so it's not about capturing carbon in the soil as much as it is reducing the amount of methane that's produced from that field. And so that gives us a lot of advantages that, you know, make it flexible to the farmer. 1 year contracts, right? Because we don't have to store carbon in the soil for, you know, 5, 10, 100 years like some of the other programs that are out there. We're just looking to change irrigation practices to reduce emissions that would have been emitted in a conventionally flooded system. And so I think that kind of level of flexibility and optionality for farmers to opt in or out on a year-to-year basis has been, you know, one of the big ones that we've gotten. Also, because, you know, I often get the question of, okay, well, what does this mean kind of in terms of dollars per acre? And rice is unique in that methane is kind of the primary emitter in a rice field. And methane is 28 times more potent as a greenhouse gas than carbon. But carbon credits are issued in tons of CO2 equivalent. So you basically get 28x, you know, the carbon credits from reducing methane as you would from sequestering carbon. Or to say that differently, 1 ton of methane reduction is the equivalent to 28 carbon credits, right? And so for us, working in the rice industry, your credit per acre values are much higher than you would see in any other corn, cotton, bean, or anything that's focused on carbon sequestration. And so, you know, that's why we see much higher credits per acre, sometimes, you know, 1 to 2, even north of 2 in some parts of the country. And so it makes it more lucrative to the farmer on a per acre basis.
Anything final we haven't touched on or anything you would reiterate to folks listening in? Again, history in the making here, finding carbon credits for rice producers now in the U.S. Really cool stuff. Anything final you'd want to share with folks today?
Yeah, the exciting thing about rice is that the way to generate carbon credits in rice is basically putting less water on the field. And so there are 9 billion gallons of water saved in these 37,000 carbon credits that were issued. And what we're seeing now is just pretty exciting, is that companies are starting to have water initiatives and pay for water credits in the same way that, you know, they've historically bought carbon credits. So if you think about the assets that a farmer can generate, you know, there's carbon sequestration, there's reduced emissions, but now there's significant water savings. And we see those markets as being really high valued, particularly as water as a resource becomes really constrained in the United States, and companies are looking to meet water goals. So that feels like the next frontier, and rice farmers are in a really good position to capture the carbon benefit, but also the water benefit as well.
Well, we're out of time. Tyler Hall with AgriCapture. Learn more at agricapture.com. Thanks for joining us on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL.
Hi, I'm Kamiko, the founder of Miko's Hot Chicken. When we started our family restaurant, we were also raising a family. But let me tell you, it wasn't easy. Our Chase Inc. card was there to reward us on all of our business needs. Now we have a thriving location, and we're hungry for more.
Chase Inc.